If the young people are so inclined for children's church, they can probably look at the screen for the first one. These are famous pairs. We'll put the first one up. Tom and Jerry. Good. Batman and Robin. This one's a little harder. Peanut butter and jelly. That one took a long time to craft out the jelly. Okay, we're talking about great duos. These, I'll put them both up there. Starsky and Hutch. Bonnie and Clyde. Abbott and Costello. Mashed potatoes and gravy. Famous pairs. You know, it's hard to imagine the one without the other. So with that, I'm welcoming you this morning to this. It's a CCAA, the Church of Christ at Alexandria, a partnership sermon series. You heard the phrase this morning, disciples making disciples. We want to be a church full of disciples or followers of Jesus who are in turn equipped or encouraged to go help make more people become disciples of Jesus. You'll see it around the building and the posters and the partnership graphics. You want to be a church full of disciples. You want anybody who comes into this circle to be able to know more about Jesus and who he is. That's the heart of being a disciple. To know Jesus, to know what the Bible says, to know what it looks like. If I'm going to try to pattern my life after that of Jesus, and you can see it's small print up there, but down the left there are five equipping commitments. You know, if we want people who are here to be enabled, then as a church we want to try to provide as best we can, you know, help for your spiritual disciplines, personal spiritual foundations. That's where we'll start this morning. Worship experiences, study communities, service opportunities, fun fellowship. That the left side of what's up there behind me, that's, shall we say, the corporate commitment. We all agree as a church family, as a body, to try to provide that and work toward that for anybody who comes in. You know, and these efforts are bubbling up out of what Paul wrote in Ephesians 4. This is verse 11 and following. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's the left side. That's a partnership, the corporate side. And then down the right side, we ask that everybody who benefits from or anybody who takes part in what is offered in the congregational effort, that I would see the need or the urgency to go out as an individual and share what I know, to try to make more disciples. I learned this in college. I said, you know, evangelism, very simply, evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's no more complex than that. And you may have heard the Great Commission not too long ago. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Where can I go? I want to do that. Where do I have opportunity to go and try and help make disciples? That'd be down the right side of the graphic. Starts at home and with my family. Whoever, can I help lead people in my household? Make disciples at home. You can be a part of a global effort. We have opportunities to go around the world and meet people one-on-one and make disciples. Could be in the community, your neighbors, my work environment, serving or sharing here in the church. In any graphics that we make, any partnership pictures, ideas, concepts, we need each other. We need you, and you need all of us. No, is it not true that from time to time, professional athletes and ownership will fuss and feud? No. And they will have their difficulties and disagreements, but in the end, they usually come together. They'll say for the good of the game or for the fact that they still want to continue to make money, which is reality. They understand that they need each other. And that's the idea here for each individual disciple. I need the equipping and the nurturing of the church body, what the church family can provide. And the church family needs the individual disciple to go out and influence people one at a time. You know, I've now been involved in two of those escape room efforts, you know, and in both times it's come out the same way. You have 10 people, and you go in, and we made it out. We escaped the difficulty within an hour time limit. And you have 10 people, all of whom are working on separate parts, and nobody's responsible for the whole of the riddle or the mystery. But inevitably, when we're done, you'll go out of there and somebody will say, boy, I feel like I didn't do very much. You know, that's the idea of a partnership. If you've ever been a part of a group or a team, you know, we said we need to move the piano. And you'll get six or eight guys of people that'll come and everybody lift, and inevitably somebody say, boy, I don't feel like I have very much. You know, that's partnership. So what we want to do in these few weeks is we'll make our way down the left side and then down the right. What's involved? If I'm going to be a partner with the Church of Christ at Alexandria, disciples making disciples, and we're starting with this spiritual discipline, personal spiritual foundation. It's part of the job, if you will, of the church to help every person have strong spiritual foundations. And Derek alluded to this too. You know, there's effort and grace in all of this morning. Some people go to the work extreme. You hear, go do this, do better. You say, okay, I gotta do it. This is what I gotta do. And it comes across as I save myself. That's not true. You know, the gift is grace. It's free from God. But then some people kind of tend to the other end. It's like, I don't have to do anything. You know, I just sit and God will take care of it and I just watch. That's not true either. You know, somewhere in the middle. Kenneth Boa has a book, Conformed to His Image. And in there he has this quote, discipline should work in concert with dependence, since grace is not opposed to effort, but to earning. The multiple benefits of the time-tested disciplines of the faith contribute to spiritual formation in the same way that training prepares us for skillful endeavor. Especially that last part. Have you ever practiced anything? A sport? A hobby. If you want to be able to perform during the game, well, you put in hours upon hours of practice in the gym or on the field. If you're going to be involved in a musical or drama, the performance on stage is preceded by what? Hours and hours of rehearsal and memorization and blocking and dress rehearsal. If you're going to give a big work presentation, probably behooves you to practice that. If you want to have an argument with your spouse and win, you better go over it. You know? And don't tell me you haven't done it. And I'm going to say this, and then she's going to say this. You know? And then maybe I'm the only one. But if you want to be competent at something, it takes work, effort, practice, takes discipline. Boa goes on to say, to ask the question, what would Jesus do? Without practicing the habits he practiced is akin to trying going out and run a marathon without any prior training. It's not going to happen. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. I see both sides in that. I work. God works, we work together. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I stand in full confidence that Jesus is able and willing and ready to do his part. Will I do mine? Starting a year, godly training, spiritual discipline. This is 1 Timothy 4:7. Train yourself to be godly. And Boaz said, spirituality is not instantaneous. It's not haphazard. It is developed and refined. And yet the Bible comes alive when its precepts are put into practice. But that doesn't happen apart from human choice. There's no shortcut to spiritual formation. This doesn't sound like New Year's. After the initial burst of enthusiasm, we soon discover that launching the process is easier than the follow through. And I kind of hesitated to start with, you know, you're this close to a New Year's resolution and you almost invite people to, well, yeah, resolution. I keep those about 3 days. You know, and then I fail. This is why this is partnership. You need us. We need you. Have you seen a Peloton, the bike, the treadmills, the commercials? It's not cheap equipment. You know? And they've been selling treadmills and bikes for decades. Why are these, what's the biggest difference? It's that screen. It's that community. It's that person who connects with someone who encourages you, or why you ride together or you run with someone. It's like physically being in the gym with your workout partner right there. That's what we're talking about here. Spiritual disciplines, foundations. Let's partner together. I'll put the first one as prayer. I didn't draw a line under a single word, but we'll talk about spiritual disciplines. We're inviting you. We're encouraging you. I challenge you to be a person of prayer. Which very simply, talking to God. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I see a partnership in there. Praying for each other. Romans 15:30. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Praying for each other, praying for ourselves, and sometimes say, I don't know what to say. I don't know the words. I think this image speaks volumes. God hears you even when you can't find the words to say. Famous preacher D.L. Moody is quoted as saying, I'd rather be able to pray than be a great preacher. Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach. But he did teach them to pray. That's a hymn. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. A very simple, a basic, a model prayer. Matthew 6. Let's recite this together. Your words in your mind might be a little different, but we'll put it up on the screen for the Lord's Prayer. Where it says, this then is how you should pray. Say it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What are the components of that prayer? There's seeking the will of God. God, what do you want in my life, in this situation? There's asking God to provide for the basic necessities, everyday, daily needs. There's trying to stay out of trouble, protection. God, be able to forgive people who disappoint us. If you begin a foundation sermon, you begin with a foundation of prayer. Talk to God. Share it with God. He understands each of us in our words just the same way that every parent understands their own toddler when you have to say, what did they say? And they interpret. He knows my words. Dr. Curtis Hudson said this, there is more you can do after you pray, but there's nothing you can do until you pray. How about Bible reading? It's been mentioned this morning. Where are you with your reading the Bible? You know, comparatively, not comparatively to the person to your right or left, but compare where you are this year to where you were the end of last year. How'd I do? Check yourself. How'd I do in any Bible reading in 2019, however poorly you might think? This is the point to say, I want to be disciplined. And people are usually aware. I think sometimes we get overwhelmed. You read scriptures like this, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And you look at that and go, all scripture, this is a huge book. There are 1,000 pages. And some of it's very difficult to understand. How am I going to get all this? This is partnership, right? This is where we're working together. Okay? It can be daunting. So you know what the rest of us need to be doing? Praying for your reading. This is Colossians 1:9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Some of the most exciting social media posts I've seen in a long time. I think it was just this last week, just the last few days. I saw one where Joe Dunlap says, hey, I finished this Bible reading program. I don't remember the one, but she said, you know, it's been an effort, and I'm happy that I made it through this year. And in the comments, I see A.B. Bowman say, congratulations to you. We like that one too, which makes me think of the family. And I think Carly Wilson, somebody said, hey, I need to check that out. You know, and maybe others. I didn't look any further. And Denise said, she said, I feel the same way. She said, there's a Bible app, there's a program that I use. And she said, when Hannah and Lauren finish one of their readings, I see it. You know, it says, Hannah or Lauren just finished X. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. You know? I'll put a link on the screen to a number of plans. There are paper copies out on the table of some of those. If you go to ligonier.org, then they can click you right away to the link or the app or the PDF or what have you. Some plans, you know, it's at different levels. Like there's one I know on the table that says, here's Old Testament and New Testament reading for each day. You might want the whole thing. You might say that's too daunting. Just focus on the right side. Focus on the New Testament reading. I'd rather we read some portion of the Bible consistently and retain it than just plow through the whole thing and not really grasp it. You know, baby steps. But I want to keep doing it. I make this a practice, a habit. It's this. Daily choices shape our habits. My habits shape my character. And the character creates the decision or guides the decision that I'm going to make. When I'm stressed or tempted, adversity. I'm trying not to leak over too much into the right side of the graphic, you know, because I know we're going to talk about family later. You want to make disciples out of children and grandchildren? Let them see you read the Bible. You know, I have 3 pages of questions that I could show you that Sharon Shanks found written in the margins and the spaces of her grandmother's Bible. And these are questions that her grandma was asking in the 1940s, and then she would look up the text that answered the question. And they're all over the Bible. And who has the Bible now? Sharon's uncle. He's 96 years old. He reads from it every night. He said that's the greatest connection that he has to his mom because he left when he's 18 and his mother was killed in a car accident where both his parents died very soon after. And she speaks to him throughout his life through what she wrote in the Bible. You know, Sharon gave me this to show you. This Bible was given to Frederick Donald Morrison, Don's uncle, from his sister, Winnie Belcher, before he was shipped overseas during World War II. The inscription reads, may this keep you safe from harm. It would go in their pocket like this. It has an actual metal cover on the front of the Bible. You know, disciplining myself to read the scripture. You know, and not just reading. How about memorization? Being able to recall it. We had a memorization challenge about this time last year. I don't know if you remember, we kind of pushed to remember more. I've talked about Denise quoting, somebody was reading James today. I was like, she knows that by heart. That's not without effort. You know, and I, as you go through these disciplines, I know we're getting into the tougher part. I've been a coach for a while, and sometimes players, everybody loves practice. No, they don't like practice. Like scrimmage. That's what we like. Let's go, can we scrimmage? When do we get a scrimmage? Can we play sharks and minnows? Everybody likes that. Dribbling, running, no, not so fun. That's why you have to have a coach at practice, right? Because the coach says, this is what we're going to do. It's not super fun always. Denise devotes time daily to memorize. You know, I have to help you. Challenge. Maybe we'll have something this summer. Let's have some kind of memorization challenge this summer. You can give me your thoughts on what that would look like. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How can I transform my brain? By knowing his word. When I'm in a tough spot, a dilemma, a situation, a crisis, what is going to fill my brain? Song lyrics or scripture? Could be both. If you want more individualized, I'd say ask Denise. She knows the tools, the apps. I got a screenshot of the Remember Me app. I know that's really small, but you know, they just have different games, word puzzles, fill in the gap, scripture typer, line by line, random quizzes, all kinds of helps that are available to memorize the word. We gave you, when you walked in, we gave you a simple entry-level memorization effort. Can you find a verse in your Bible? If I put a picture up here that says Jonah, could you find it? Where would I turn? How long would it take? Table of contents, beginning, middle, end, where is that? So to this end, I hope your family has, or they're out there on the table, a key ring set of all of the books of the Bible. They're in order, different colors, information on the back. Practice those. I'll give you a challenge now for about a month from now, first Sunday in February, on the 2nd, between worship and class, we'll go down, we'll use our tables in the basement and see who can do what. Just however many people are around the table, go. First half of the people who can put them in order, you make it to the next round. Do that at home. Do it with your family members. Maybe that's a simple, this time next year, I will know the books of the Bible in order by memory. We'll move to fasting. I probably should have put this early in the sermon because the longer I talk, the hungrier we get. Fasting, pointedly going without food, using some of the time that I would have been eating to pray, to focus on God, and it's going to impact the rest of your day. You'll be reminded. What did Jesus say about fasting? Matthew 6:16. When you fast. Trust me, I looked in several translations. Nobody has if. It always says when. Hotan is the Greek word. When. It's not an option. For Jesus, it was an expectation. I'm being very honest. This is harder for me. It gives me a headache. Physically, that's the downside. My body is kind of adjusted more physically, but I get a headache when I do it. That's the downside. The upside is it makes the what's for supper question moot. Doesn't matter. I'll eat anything. Whatever you make is great. I don't really care. You know, and I know full well what Jesus says about hiding, fasting. You know, don't make a practice of showing off to everybody. Oh, look at me. I'm fasting. You know, there's a lot to be said in secret, but if you're like us, you can only go so long and your spouse will find you out, right? You know, like, what'd you have for lunch? You can't lie about that. You know, she knows, you know, she knows when we do it together. No. And there's a blessing in that. There's the joy when Queen Esther pointedly asked people to fast with her and for her. Esther chapter 4, verse 16. This is tough. This requires practice. It is not natural to pursue self-denial. Kenneth Boa said, there, you know, there's all different methods and degrees you could talk about. You could do a total fast, nothing, no food. You could have a water-only fast or a juice fast. You could fast for a meal or a day or longer. But no matter any of those, here's the end of his comment. All promote self-denial and reveal to what degree we are ruled by our bodily appetites. Can I discipline my... And if you're sitting there going, oh, I could never do it. You might be more able to control than you give yourself credit. He lumped in there with the food part, the chastity or the sexual fidelity part. It's the same root. It's the same discipline. Being able to recognize a sexual appetite and control that. To recognize. There are going to be painful consequences. Improper feelings, fantasies, relationships. Chastity elevates loving concern for the good of others above personal gratification. Do I need to make a more concentrated effort this year to just control my appetites? That's discipline. And there's a long list. I'll just mention solitude and silence at the end of this. I think some people have 8 disciplines. Some have 22. There's any number of things that can discipline us. For me, on solitude and silence, this picture that I have here, I feel like the solitude or the silence, they're like the mortar in there. The disciplines that we're talking about, the praying and the reading and the memorization, those are the bricks or the blocks. And the silence and the solitude, that enables, that supports solitude, just moving away from the rush and the lure and just be in the presence of God? Can I drown out the noise? And silence is key. Can I turn off the world for however long? Just be. If you were looking for, man, give me the basic starting point for spiritual discipline. I want to be more disciplined in my spiritual walk. Start with this solitude. Can I carve out some time to just get away from? And I know not all noise is bad. I know we have to attend to little children when they need it. I understand that. But for any of us, is there some point where I can just be alone? I value that we have so many seconds during church where a whole group of people, we're just quiet for a few seconds. It's silent. It's stillness. I have to have that. I have to discipline myself to foster that. And I caution, as I said, this is not all effort. Okay. We're not human doings. We're human beings. Spiritual growth is a process, and it's always going to be God maturing me and strengthening me. I have to remember, I have to let Jesus be in me, let Jesus do the work in me. Paul's words, remember Philippians 2:12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. How disciplined have I been? And it's pretty typical then we start beating on ourselves, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, but by and large, have I seen any progress? When you look back over 2019, say, this is an area, honestly, I feel stronger than I did in 2018. And either way on that, 2020, moving forward. If I commit to these efforts, if we partner together, we can help each other grow and mature. You can win this. It can be done. I read that in the Bible, that we can win. This is 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him, the devil, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering, this partnership. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for enabling us, for bringing us to a time and a place where we can gather together as a loving family to politely and also urgently challenge and encourage one another into this which is essential for eternity. There are so many things that clamor for our effort and our focus, and we pray that we would be disciplined to practice this which will guide us into eternity, and in so doing that we might be able to bring others along with us as we meet them along the way. We pray this, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.